one of the things that we share constantly with people, because people say, well, yeah, I've been sharing the Lord with this person and they're just not listening. Well, are you loving them? Oh, yeah, I'm loving them. Well, how are you loving them? You know, just loving them. No, there's ways you can love them. I mean, small things. Take them cookies. Take them their favorite brownies. Just an expression of love can melt an icy heart away. And see, as it's often been said, they don't care what you know until they know how much you care. And then you have a platform to speak into their lives. Then they will listen to what you have to say.
Welcome to Cross the Bridge with David McGee. David is the senior pastor of The Bridge in Kernersville, North Carolina. Today we have in the studio with us one of David McGee's associate pastors, D.A. Brown. And D.A., today we're going to hear about how you have to love me.
Bob, loving one another is simply part of being a Christian. In fact, we should love one another because lives depend on it. Today, Pastor Dave McGee explains the importance of love as he continues in the Gospel of John chapter 13.
Well, let's listen as David McGee continues with his teaching to live for the Lord.
Verse 31, so when he had gone out, Jesus said, now the Son of Man is glorified, and God is glorified in him. You know, we read this, and we have, our hindsight is 20/20. I mean, we know what happens after this, but look at what Jesus is not saying. He doesn't even use the word crucified here. He uses the word glorified. Oh, boy, there's a lesson in there for us, because, see, he was looking beyond the cross. He was looking to the glory beyond the cross. And you know what happens with us sometimes? We get totally wrapped around our self-denial, and we get focused on that, and we forget the glory that's beyond that. We forget about heaven, and we just think about our struggles here. And you know what? I think the enemy delights in that. I think the enemy delights in making you think, or helping you to think, that the struggles you're going through now, you're always going to be going through. That the hard times you might be having now, that you're always going to be having those hard times. It's not true. It's not true. There's better days coming. You may struggle your whole earthly existence here, but if you know Jesus Christ at some point, man, your world gets a whole lot better. So don't believe that lie. Jesus says glorified, not crucified. And why, again, why did he do this? He did it for us. He did it for us. To offer us, oh, this is amazing stuff. To be able to offer us forgiveness. To be able to offer to us the trade. We trade our broken, beat up lives for his life. We get to trade our sinfulness for his sinlessness. We get to trade our selfishness for his selflessness. Let me ask you a question. Who comes out on the short end of that stick? He does, but he knows, and he's willing to make that transaction. And verse 32 says, if God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself and glorify him immediately. And little children, I shall be with you a little while longer. You will seek me. As I said to the Jews, where I am going, you cannot come. So now I say to you. Now, here's a little puzzle. See, because when Jesus said this to the Jewish people, you can look at the surrounding verses, and I think you can pretty accurately figure out he's probably talking about heaven in that place. Not that they couldn't go, but because they would reject Jesus, they wouldn't go. But here he's talking to the home team. This is the upper room discourse. These are the disciples. So he can't be talking about heaven here. Where's he talking about? Where I'm going, you cannot come. He must be talking about the cross. Because they couldn't go to the cross. They could not go. It was something he had to do by himself. You know, I've wondered something. I've wondered on that day when Jesus was hanging on the cross with a thief on each side. I wonder if the mother of James and John, who had asked Jesus for a place for her children on his right hand and on his left, realized on that day what she had been asking for. And why Jesus had said, you don't know what you're asking. Jesus did this alone. As a matter of fact, we'll see over the next few chapters, they pretty much all left, with the possible exception of John. And can you imagine, just for a moment, if you will, the loneliness that Jesus felt on that cross? What he endured in the way of loneliness? I'm not sure we can even understand that. I've been lonely in my life, but I don't think on that level. If you remember, Jesus from the cross spoke these words, my God, why have you forsaken me? It's interesting because in most other places, Jesus referred to him as Father, but not at that moment, not at that time. And you have to ask yourself, why did he endure such loneliness and pain and suffering? He did it so you wouldn't have to. See, we don't have to be lonely. Do you understand that? Oh, I know the world is lonely. People in the world are desperately lonely. But there's a remedy for that. There's the relationship with Jesus Christ first and foremost, and then there's the fellowship that he gives us with one another. You don't have to be lonely. If you're lonely, stop and ponder and consider and reach out to somebody. Some of us, to be honest, you know, some of us are kind of like cactuses. We got these huge, you know, spines sticking out. Well, nobody's really close to me. Well, put down your spines a little bit. Because, you know, it's kind of hard to hug a cactus sometimes, isn't it? That's the kind of thing you would probably only do once, right? But Jesus did all this. It would have been amazing enough had he looked at you and thought, well, you know, you're a pretty good person. You're trying pretty hard. You're getting this Christianity down. You know, I'm going to die for you. I'll give my life for you because you're basically a good person. There's that spark of innate human goodness. There's no what happened, is it? The Bible talks about innate human goodness, folks. Short version is, it says there isn't any. There's none righteous, no, not one. We have all fallen short of the glory of God. Romans chapter 3, verse 10, Romans chapter 3, verse 23. Tell us that. He did it even though we were unworthy. Oh, and it'd have been something if he'd have done it for your neighbor or for a person that lived down the street, a person you worked with. He did it for you. He did this for you to give you the opportunity to respond to his offer for forgiveness. That's why they call it the good news. That he made this available to us. Question is, how do you respond? How will you respond to this act of selflessness that Jesus did for you? Verse 34, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. That's pretty convicting. Let's move on. By this all will... No, I'm kidding. This is new this is a fresh commandment, because we know from Leviticus and Deuteronomy that this concept of loving one another is not a New Testament concept, but Jesus raises the bar when he says, as I have loved you, so love one another. Well, it's hard enough when he said, love your neighbor as yourself. But I don't know, maybe there were some that still thought they could do that. So Jesus said, okay, here's what you got to do. You got to love everybody else like I've loved you guys. Now, when I hear that, there's part of me that goes, well, that's it. Okay, we're done. Can't do that. Oh, and if you're sitting there thinking you can do this of your own human effort and your human strength, oh my gosh, may the Lord convict you of your pride. See, this leaves us in a place... It's meant to leave us. It's meant to leave us in a place of desperation for his Holy Spirit, a place of desperation that he would work in us to love others. And we realize when we need help and we're desperate for his Holy Spirit to help us to do this, that leaves us in exactly the place he meant to leave us. Going, okay, I'm going to need your help. And he's willing to give that help. That's the amazing thing when you stop to consider. Jesus never told anybody to do anything impossible. Because when he told them to do it, it became possible. Now, Jesus told some people to do some pretty wild stuff. He looked at a lame man and said, get up and walk. Now think about that. If you'd have been standing there and you saw this guy walk over to somebody who couldn't walk, say, get up and walk, what would you have been thinking? I know what I'm being honest. I'd have been thinking, that's not right. He's telling, he knows that man can't walk. That's cruel. But see, when Jesus told him to walk, he became able to walk. And if that's not enough, Jesus looked into a grave and told the guy to get up. Now, you think you may have been challenged some mornings when you're wanting to sleep in. That's nothing. Lazarus was dead. And Jesus said, get up. Come on. Come out. Called him by name. So when Jesus tells us to do something, guess what? It becomes possible for us to do it. It becomes possible for us to do it. You know what's really cool too, in it, talking about John, and he was a young man, and John lived a long time. We're told he possibly even lived to be 90 years old. He was the only disciple that died a natural death. The others were martyred. They tried to kill John. History tells us that they tried to kill him by dropping him in a vat of boiling oil, and he lived. And so then the Romans said, you know what? Something about this guy. Because they were fairly superstitious, so they said, let's exile him to the Isle of Patmos. But what's interesting is you see that John, because remember John and his brother, Sons of Thunder? Yeah, I'm not sure that was like a term of endearment. and they were trying to call down fire from heaven to Crispy Critter, the guys, because they didn't receive them. You remember that part? It's in there. It's in the book, guys. I'm not making this stuff up. They said, you know what, call down fire from heaven and fry these people. We're mad at them. That reminds you of some Christians today, doesn't it? And Jesus says, you don't know what spirit you're of. To go from that place, to go from John, who I think it was 44 times used the word love in 1st, 2nd, 3rd John. It said that later in his life, as he was the last disciple living, that he would speak to places, and towards the end of his life, they would bring him in. They go, this guy, big buzz. You know, he was Jesus, was real disciple, real deal, you know. And they'd all come in to hear him, and he would say, little children, love one another. Amen. That'd be all he'd say. To go from calling fire down from heaven to little children, love one another. Be encouraged, friend. Be encouraged. Because the Lord will do a work in us. The first life lesson, Jesus takes us just as we are, but loves us too much to leave us that way. Takes us just as we are, but loves us too much to leave us that way.
You're listening to Pastor David McGee on Cross the Bridge. He'll be right back with more in just a moment, but I want to remind you of the free resources available to you on crossthebridge.com. There's a team of hundreds of people that will pray for somebody to be saved. You have a loved one that needs to know Jesus as Savior. You need people to pray for them. You need someone to present God's Word to them. Every day we're presenting God's Word to them here on Cross the Bridge with Pastor David McGee. We can pray for them as well just by simply going to crossthebridge.com and click on the Pray for the Lost button. All you need to do is put in the first names of the people you love that need to know Jesus as Savior. Click on Submit, and immediately, hundreds of people will begin praying for your lost loved ones. And what an awesome way to bring your loved ones to Jesus. Here's a word from Associate Pastor D.A. Brown.
We want to take just a minute to pray for 7 cities in our listening audience: South Portsmouth, Westport, Kentucky, Baton Rouge, Denham Springs, Irwinville, Heflin, and Jennings, Louisiana. Lord, thank you for these cities. Thank you for those mayors, the police chiefs, the government officials, the town councils. Lord, we pray that you would give them wisdom and discernment. We pray that they would look to your word for advice on how to lead. Lord, help us to be praying for them consistently and be a place of encouragement, not division, in their lives. Father, anyone in these cities who hasn't yet put their trust in you, we pray that you would convince them and encourage them to recognize how much you love them, so much that you died on the cross for them. And Lord, we pray for revival in each one of these cities. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, brother. And now, let's get back to David McGee as he continues teaching verse by verse.
Jesus continues verse 35. By this, all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. That's convicting too, isn't it? Notice what he says. He didn't say, they'll know you are my disciples if you fight with one another. They'll know you are my disciples if you wear nice suits. didn't say that. I don't have any problem with nice suits. I have nice suits. I wear them sometimes. But I think when we begin to think that's what a follower of Jesus looks like, that's a problem. Because I've known a lot of people in suits who were Gentile heathen dogs, man. They were in church. But you know what? We got to be careful. We got to be careful we don't go to the other extreme. Because we can get in danger of judging somebody in a suit. Are you aware of that? Because of the casual dress, we can look at somebody in a suit and go, he's not a real disciple. He's got a suit on. What is that? See, because that's the same thing as somebody looking at you going, shorts and flip-flops in church. He's obviously a heathen. Both those are wrong. They're both wrong. Jesus didn't say anything about suits. Didn't say anything about hair. If you love one another. See, because this is the deal, guys. When we love one another, something opens up. Something happens. Jesus said, you know what? They're going to know that you're following me by your love for one another. That's a powerful, powerful statement. And the life lesson here is love one another. Lives depend on it. One of the things that we share constantly with people, because people say, well, yeah, I've been sharing the Lord with this person and they're just not listening. Well, are you loving them? Oh, yeah, I'm loving them. Well, how are you loving them? You know, just loving them. No, there's ways you can love them. I mean, small things. Take them cookies. Take them their favorite brownies. Just an expression of love can melt an icy heart away. And see, as it's often been said, they don't care what you know until they know how much you care. And then you have a platform to speak into their lives. Then they will listen to what you have to say. When we begin to love one another, there's something that happens in the sense of community that only happens when we love one another. So when Jesus says, love one another, it's not just this warm, fuzzy thing. It's a commitment. There's an interdependence with one another that we're supposed to have. Now, perhaps you're sitting there going, no, wait a minute. Wait a minute. You're taking that too far. We're dependent upon the Lord, and that's it. Be careful. Be careful, because it is the Bible itself that gives us the picture of the body of Christ. So if you're thinking you don't need your heart, you don't need your lungs, are you not dependent upon those things? You bet you're. They're part of the body. Guess what? Brothers and sisters, we're part of the body. And what we're supposed to be doing is loving one another. He didn't say, you know what? They'll know your disciples if you talk about each other. They'll know your disciples if you yell at one another. They'll know your disciples if you judge one another. It's not what he said. Well, now, Pastor David, you're just getting all warm and fuzzy this morning. What's up with that? I'm not saying love without the truth. The truth goes with love. It goes hand in hand. But I think that we need to be careful to love one another. I think we need to be encouraged in that. Verse 36, Simon Peter said to him, Lord, where are you going? Peter sounds like a little boy there, doesn't he? You're leaving us? What are you doing? Where are you going? And Jesus answered him, where I am going, you cannot follow me now, but you shall follow me afterwards. And Peter said to him, Lord, why can I not follow you now? I will lay down my life for your sake. And Jesus answered and said, will you lay down your life for my sake? Most assuredly, I say to you, the rooster shall not crow till you have denied me three times. Whew. See, here's the thing. Peter, and we're going to deal with this more as the Gospel of John goes on, but Peter had a lot of confidence in Peter. Peter had a lot of confidence in Peter's ability to follow the Lord. And it was misplaced. See, we're even taught in some churches now that we should be self-confident. Should be filled with self-confidence. Show me that in the Bible. It's not in there. Now, keep in mind, I'm confident. I'm confident in the Lord. Because you know what? When I place confidence in myself, I'm fairly disappointed pretty often. But when I put my confidence in the Lord, he never lets me down. See, that's what Paul is talking about. And the life lesson here is to live for the Lord simply means our life is not all about us. Our life is not all about us. Sometimes in talking to people, I can tell from an instant where the conversation is going. When they start, well, you know, nobody said this to me and nobody did this to me and it's me and it's me and it's me and it's me. And that's part of the reason, to be honest, I think the church is in the mess that it is. I'm talking about the church in general. It's because there's a preoccupation with self. You can't do that. If you want to be preoccupied with something, be preoccupied with Jesus. The Word of God never says we should esteem ourselves highly. It says not to esteem ourselves highly, to esteem others higher than ourselves. Paul in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20 says, I myself no longer live, but Christ lives in me. So I live my life in this earthly body by trusting in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. This is how Paul came to the place in Philippians chapter 1, verse 21. He says, to me, living is for Christ and dying is even better. It wasn't about him. It's about Jesus. I look at that. I look at the strength of that statement, the boldness of that statement. I go, yeah. But here's what happens. We'll tend to do well following the Lord for a while. And then we begin to think, you know what? I'm doing pretty good. I kind of got this thing down. Got kind of a system to it. I'm doing all right. I'm strong. And then what happens? We fall. Why? Well, many reasons, but you know, pride comes before a fall. And when you think you got it down, be careful. Because it's not that you got it down, it's that he's holding you with his hand. He's holding you with his hand. And see, brothers and sisters, this is how even a stumble. And please hear me. I'm not telling you to go out and stumble. But this is the way that a stumble, you can even get something good out of that. What do you mean? When you stumble, realize that's you. You let go of God's hand for just a moment and you stumbled. And you can get back up. The last life lesson is don't trust in your ability to follow God. Trust in God's ability to lead you. Now, this is an important thing for us to grab as believers because you know what? Oftentimes we trust in ourselves and we shouldn't. Put no confidence in the flesh is what the Bible tells us. Put your confidence in the Lord. And this is so important, guys, because you know what? If you trust in your abilities as a Christian, do you realize you're going to live a life of being bummed out because you keep messing up? But if you put your confidence in God's ability to lead you, whenever you stumble, when you fall to the left or to the right, you go, well, he's still there. He's waiting on me. Still wanting me to follow him. He's still willing to lead me. And it helps you get up and back on track. Look at the love Jesus demonstrated. Let me ask you a question. How will you respond to this love? Jesus gave us such an incredible example of how much he loves us. He didn't just say, I love you. He showed it. Friend, you're never going to find that kind of love anywhere else from anybody else. And it's being offered to you this morning graciously. All he asks for is your response. No promises of, I'll never do this again. Because he says, don't trust in your own strength. Just the promise that you'll follow him. Just asking for the forgiveness of sins and saying, Jesus, I'm willing to follow you. And he will exchange your broken life without hope for a life with hope without measure.
Friend, do you know for sure that your sins have been forgiven? You can know right now. I want to lead you in a short, simple prayer, simply telling God you're sorry and asking him to help you to live for him. Now, God wants you to pray this prayer so much that he died to give you the opportunity and the ability to ask him to forgive you. Please, pray this prayer with me out loud right now. Dear Jesus, I believe you died for me that I could be forgiven. And I believe you were raised from the dead that I could have a new life. And I've done wrong things. I have sinned. And I'm sorry. Please forgive me of all those things. Please give me the power to live for you all of my days. In Jesus' name, amen. Friend, if you prayed that prayer, according to the Bible, you've been forgiven, you've been born again. So congratulations, friend, you just made the greatest decision that you will ever make. God bless you.
If you prayed that prayer with David for the first time, we'd love to hear from you. You can visit crossthebridge.com to receive our First Steps package with helpful resources to help you begin your walk with Christ. Or you can write to Cross the Bridge at P.O. Box 12515, Winston-Salem, North Carolina, 27117, and share how God is working in your life. You know, the Bible tells us that the free gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. But it does cost for us to come and bring that message to you and to others in your neighborhood through radio, through the internet, and through the mobile technologies that God has gifted us to be able to use. So if you'd like to support this ministry, please go to crossthebridge.com, click on the donate button, and ask God how much He would have you give, either on a one-time basis or a continuing basis each month, to help ensure that the teaching of God's Word continues to go out through Cross the Bridge. Thank you so much. Well, D.A., before we go, what are some ways that we can bless our listeners?
If you're not able to make it to your home church this Sunday, why not join us for our live stream at 10 a.m. Eastern Time or on Thursday nights at 7 p.m. Eastern Time? Just visit crossthebridge.com and click on our live stream link. There, you will experience a live service from David's Home Church, The Bridge, in North Carolina. Again, that website is crossthebridge.com. Each day, you can wake up with encouragement from Pastor David through the Word of God with his email devotional, life lessons to consider, a daily reading plan, and a thought to meditate on throughout your day from the heart of David McGee.
And it's easy and it's free. So folks, sign up today at crossthebridge.com. Thanks again for listening, and join us next time as David McGee continues teaching verse by verse in the Gospel of John.